confidence comes with clarity. So the more clear you are in your message and your purpose and what you're going into, the more confident you're going to be in who you are. And that's going to help speak volumes whenever you start speaking to people. So start there. If you have a hard time talking to people because you don't know what to say, start figuring out what your message is and who you are.
On this episode of A Call to Leadership, I ask the questions around being overwhelmed in business, floundering, feeling like you're suffocated. It happens to so many of us, and it is debilitating. It can take us right out of the game, but it's not ever final unless we give up. I've invited an expert in this area, J.R. Spear, who has faced almost insurmountable odds and overcome. I can't wait for you to listen in. I'm Dr. Nate Sala, and this is A Call to Leadership.
JR, so good to have you back on the show.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
You flew all the way in to St. Louis just to see me?
Yeah.
Man, you know, we've had years and years together in the trenches as business people. And I wanted to kick this episode off just right off the bat. We're driven. Entrepreneurs generally are driven. I mean, if you're a sloth, you're probably not going to be very successful at entrepreneurship. But that also comes with a cost. And someone listening is facing some serious stress right now in relationship to drive.
Yeah.
You and I have faced it. I mean, we face it constantly, probably facing a bit right now. Part of that is we take on a lot. We really push. And I remember I started out when I was 21 years old, a little younger. Some start out later in life. But I remember I wanted to be on my own, and I didn't want to have to work for anyone else. I figured if I could do the job just as well as my employer, why not just go do it on my own? Of course, then you take on responsibility. You don't really know what you're doing early on. And then the stress comes because now you've got money you've got to earn. You've got bills to pay. You've got customers to satisfy. You've got customers to obtain, right, to create.
Yeah.
And so I found I would wake up in the morning, most mornings, and the stress was so heavy that the way I would describe it is I would have a backpack full of like 50-pound gym weights, and I would strap it on my back every morning and carry that huge heavy load into my day. Have you ever felt that way?
Yeah, 100%, and I feel that all the time. And there's a couple things that I talk about and teach on a regular basis for our clients in my community on how to actually overcome it and different things. But here's the reality too. If I don't feel like I have that weight on my shoulders, and if I feel like I'm not pissing certain people off, then I feel like I'm not doing enough, or I'm just not driven enough, or I'm not doing enough. One thing that we learn, you know, I'm a combat veteran, but one thing we learned in Iraq is complacency kills. So when you start getting complacent is the second that you have the opportunity and the chance that you might cost your life. And the same thing in our business. When we start getting complacent inside of our business, the first time you might actually see your business fall or where it's failing. So I feel that weight a lot more than I like to admit. There's a saying that I was taught a long time ago, and I actually interviewed on my podcast a while ago, and he was more from a Christian leadership standpoint for marriages, because he helps Christian leaders and their families and help marriages thrive. But one saying that he told me, and it just stuck with me ever since then, it's not even just in your marriages, but it's everyday life, that it's how you respond is everything. And so when you're responding to your spouse, you're responding to friends and relationships or clients, whatever it may be, it's the way that you respond is everything. We can either choose to allow that weight to carry on and put a negative reaction to us throughout the day, or we can choose to come in with a good attitude and really get out there and help solve problems and help make it a better day. Yeah. But we're all going to find those different things that are going to drive us down. And it's what we do that responds and makes a difference. But if you want me to, I'd love to go into like my process and
love,
to help people.
Love to hear your process. Before you go into that, just to stop right there, because our responses, I think that's such an important aspect to even the perspective we have on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Because we have a choice. You said that, you know, we choose. And now the flip side of that is people will say, I'm in such a rough spot right now that I can't even imagine choosing to have a different perspective or choosing to respond with a go-getter attitude when I'm in the dumps because the bills are overdue or my customers are unhappy or I'm understaffed or, I mean, just fill in the blank, right? Or, you know, stuff is going on at home and I'm not even able to have control over those environments. I mean, someone right now is facing that.
Yeah. So the reality is we only can control the things that we can't control. So there's certain things in our life that we can't control, and then you can't really do anything about it, but you can control with what's in front of you and what you, and focusing on those things that you can control. So figuring out, like, okay, you got a family environment, you have your business that's struggling, or you have payments that are, or bills that are coming in, and you have understaffed and different things that you're struggling with. But the only thing you can really hyper-focus on is what you can control, and just really make a list and really figure out the efforts and the execution that's going to take for you to be able to do that. Because you can't focus on, put all your efforts into the things that you can't control, because all it's going to do is bring you down. I remember there was a moment, so I won't go through the whole story, but when I was through pretty much ambush and blown up in Iraq on 2007, I had to really make a switch in my head. And I remember that switch. And now I can't say this is a positive thing or a negative thing, because it affected me negatively even today in a lot of different ways. But in that moment of being in a combat zone and a war zone, it definitely made me be able to respond in the moments and where I was at, and be able to react and be able to complete and move forward with the mission. And after the bomb went off and stuff like that, I remember settling down that night and be like, you know what? I had the choice where I can continue to reflect and dread on the things of the, what just happened. There was a lot of death, a lot of blood. I'm injured, and there's a lot of things that go on. And then a lot of that to affect me for the daily mission, because the mission is still going on. The mission in life and the mission in combat and waking up and doing what we had to do was still going to take place whether I wanted to or not. I didn't have a choice. I could have played the victim card and be like, you know what, this happened to me. I'm not going to get out of bed and do this. But reality is, if I don't, that's life or death. And so I had to tell myself, is like, you know, I'm making a choice. I'm going to do everything I can to survive, do everything I can to move forward. And then I clicked that off in my head, and immediately I was able to respond and move forward and complete the daily missions until I got 2 feet back down on the ground in the U.S. soil. Mm. It was that moment, though, that the reason why I say on a negative standpoint, because even today, there's a lot of blockages. Like, we go through life and we just kind of file things away in our brain, that things kind of file away and I just don't deal with it. And that's the things that I struggle with. But during that time, in that moment, I was able to provide safety for myself and move forward with what needed to get done, because I told myself of, this is what I can't control, this is what I can't control, and be able to move forward with the mission.
Well, and that's important, because, and first of all, thank you for your service.
Yeah.
Your service has afforded us the freedom to be able to have this conversation. So for you and every other veteran, thank you. There's so much power in focusing on what I can control.
Yeah.
Because it's such a waste of time to lament or expend valuable resources on the uncontrollables. And maybe there are uncontrollables. I mean, everybody's got them in a day, right? I mean, constantly things are bombarding us, problems that maybe I don't have all the answers right now. And sometimes the answer comes tomorrow or the next day or the next week. I think that's where discernment and patience comes in. And again, focusing on, these are aspects of my day, my situation, that I can influence, that I can change. And that's really the heart of leadership. I mean, when we're talking about leadership, we're talking about influence, right? What can I influence and what can I not? Having the vision, and not only the vision in the moment, but the long-range vision to pull me through. You know, it's been said that, you know, your vision pulls you through the adversity, you know, pulls you through the tension. And so having an anchor in the future that's a better future state than now. I mean, why do we even become entrepreneurs, business people, right? I mean, there's a desire in the future that gave us hope for a state that was so incredibly attractive, so incredibly irresistible, that we left what some would call a guaranteed paycheck. And we know there's never such a thing as a guaranteed paycheck.
Not
right?
at all.
Because that could end any day too.
Yeah.
It happens all the time. But I think holding on to, in the moment, like, oh my goodness, the weight is just bearing down on me. Why I did this in the first place? Go back to the basic. And for me, part of the why is freedom. Like, I get the freedom to choose my outcomes. I don't have to go and ask permission. Now, granted, that freedom comes with a cost.
Yeah.
Just like it came with a cost for you when you were serving in Iraq. But you chose to get back up. Now tell me about the process, because I think processes are important. You know, step by step, walk our listener through that process, your process.
Yeah, absolutely. But before we kind of go in there, you know, being a man of faith, and I know that there's a leadership show, and you got a lot of Christian leaders. You know, one thing that really helped me get through is, first off, is staying on God's word and what his promises and what he says. And then one scripture that remind myself daily is we're not supposed to live our life in fear, but in power, love, and sound mind. And just knowing that even in Jeremiah 29:11, where it says he has a hope and a future for our life, and those different types of scriptures really helps me lean on to be able to move forward. And gosh, even last November in 2021, I got COVID really bad. And I wouldn't consider myself an emotional person, but I got COVID so bad that it put me in the hospital. And then I remember looking at the doctor and asked him, saying, hey, am I going to be okay? And is this fatal? And he just looked at me and says, we don't know. And there was no certainty with that. And to me, that was like, it was a scary moment. So through that moment, and I was only there for about a week. And then when I got back home, I was feeling a little bit better, not 100%. I had panic attacks. I had anxiety. I had all these different things. And this is, I've been in business and entrepreneur for more than 15 years and never experienced anything like this before. And, you know, COVID affects a lot of people in many different ways. But going through all that, it was God's scripture and his word and his truth that actually helped me lean on. So for me, having the faith and having the purpose driven for that definitely helped pull me through. So that's the first step that I always do. But whenever I'm talking to my clients and going through this, and the first piece of our foundations is always understanding your mission. Because like almost like what you said, and understand the vision of where you're going to go. If you don't know your destination, you don't have vision, you don't know where you're going to go, you're going to ultimately set yourself up for failure. But there's three pieces to when it comes to creating that mission and making sure you're staying focused to allow you to stay driven even through those most difficult times. And before I kind of dive into one of that, but the first step is honestly understanding your purpose. And the reason why I say that, because a veteran gets out of the military and they take that uniform off and they're not really told what to do. Their days aren't structured or anything like that. And they're like, what am I doing now? Even if they have a lined up job of what they need to do, you take out that uniform, there's a sense of pride that just got left. There's a lot of piece of you that just got left. And why is suicide so high in the amongst veteran community? And not even just veterans, but just in society nowadays. But I'm just going to use veterans because that's what I can relate to. But veterans, they say 22 veterans die per day due to PTSD. And usually, I think PTSD usually happens not just from the trauma, but due to lack of purpose of why they commit suicide. So they lost of who they are. They don't have that purpose to drive them. And so I always tell all of our clients, it's like, you got to find that purpose to figure out who you are and why you're doing what you're doing in the first place, because that's the one thing that's going to keep that fire burning and getting you to show up every single day to complete that mission. Because if you don't understand, if that fire and that why and that purpose isn't getting you out of bed, and it's easy for you to hit snooze, it's easy for you to say, hey, I'll push it off till tomorrow. It's easy for me to be like, oh, I'll get to it when I have time. Then your purpose and your why is not big enough. And you need to really dig deeper to figure out what that is, because your purpose and your why needs to be so big that you don't hit that snooze. You get out of bed. You go train for that marathon that you're preparing for. You go out there and you start building that business that you need to build, because you're going to provide for your family and you're the only breadwinner inside of your family. So when people say, hey, I know my purpose, I'm going to tell you, you're fooling yourself and you're telling yourself a lie, because if you're able to not show up to a call, you're able to not get out of bed and do what you got to do, then your purpose is not big enough. There's someone that I follow. He's a pretty big influencer in the fitness space. His name is Bedros Koulian, and he's the founder of Fit Body Bootcamp, one of the biggest fitness franchises in the world internationally. And I had the opportunity to meet him several different times in person and talking to him, but he always says, and this is kind of where I learned the style of understanding your purpose and the drive, but he says he started Fit Body Bootcamp even through a massive recession. So, but he said like his why and his purpose was so big enough that if he didn't show up to do what he was going to do, he was going to show go to home and find his kids and his family all murdered cold blood on his floor. And that's what made him get out of bed even strong enough to be able to do what he does. And that's why he was able to build that franchise, even through a recession when people said that everyone's going to fail. So if your purpose isn't that big enough, then you need to rework it. The second piece that you need to really work on when it comes to giving you that drive is your identity. Because it's one thing to know your purpose and your why, but now you got to really think about, what do you want people to think of you when they think of who you are, when they see your name, when they see your face and who you are? That's really, really big. And I went through multiple different identities in my life. And you don't, the identity that you have today or what you had yesterday doesn't have to be the identity tomorrow. So growing up, my identity was always being Karate Kid. I grew up in martial arts since I was like 3 years old, started teaching when I was 12 years old. But even going through high school, that's what everyone knew me as. Out of high school, I went in the military and everyone knew me as the RP, which stood for Religious Program Specialist. I was security for the chaplain, but that was my identity. In the military, you're identified by the rank on your collar and the job that you do. That was my identity. When I got out of the military, I had no identity. And I actually went through major anxiety and panic attacks at several different times. And there was one time that I was going to Christian college. I was part of the worship team. We did an event downtown St. Louis, and I was going to leave. And I remember standing in front of the parking garage, and I was about maybe 20 feet away from my car in the parking garage, and no one else is there. But I couldn't get up to my vehicle. Like, I immediately had an anxiety attack and panic attack, and we were just scared. First off, I was terrified that my car was going to blow up if I walked up to it. Second off, I thought I was going to either hit an IED on the side of the road, so that was terrifying. But the next thing is, like, I didn't know who I was. So yes, I was part of the worship team and I was doing all these different things. But I remember at that moment, I was thinking, it was like, who the f- am I? Like, I'm just going around doing different things and doing the things that I enjoy doing, but I don't really have an identity for myself. So I would go from being Mr. Karate Kid to being the RP in the military. And then now I'm just going to college. And when you're going to college, you just kind of fly on the wall. No one really sees you as someone else. And that's when I started my first business, which was a martial arts school. I leaned on what I knew. I knew what was easy, and that's what I wanted to go do. So I started doing martial arts, and through martial arts, I found my love for fitness even more. And yes, I loved fitness even in the military, but I found myself that people were coming to me on helping them lose weight and stuff like that. And I had a lot of people that identified me as Mr. Fitness and built a massive business in 3 years. I ended up being in three different cities and did extremely well with it, building a huge team, tons of classes, and just loved it. And I always kick myself in the face for not continuing with that. But when we moved to Virginia in 2016, I decided to close those doors and pursue more consulting and helping other small business owners. And of course, I had other jobs in the middle while I helped with that transition, did a lot of sales and everything like that. But you have to figure out what the identity is, and you can go through different transitions and different stages of your life to really, and it doesn't have to be the same thing all the time. But if you want to figure out, like, how do you get through these difficult times? How do you get through the times where, man, I'm struggling, I don't know what I'm gonna do? You need to start with your purpose. Then you gotta go to your identity. And the last piece is your destination.
Before you get there, what you've touched on is, it's like, they're so foundational. And on some level, people say, well, it's so basic and it's so easy, but it's so important and so profound. I mean, the whole idea behind having a sense of purpose is meaning making, you know, purpose and meaning making, and making meaning out of our lives. You know, what are we here for, right? And that gives us value. We're social creatures. And moving into that next phase of identity, I mean, there's an old Latin phrase, noce te ipsum, which means know thyself, right? This is like not new, but you can see that throughout history, these have been essentials to progress. And it reminds me, you said, you know, knowing your identity helps you through struggles. It reminds me of a quick story I wanted to share before you move into your next point. You and I have done triathlon together, and triathlon's not easy. You swim, and then you cycle, and then you run. Some people do one. We, you know, triathletes do all three, and then, of course, there's different levels of it. There's a sprint, and then there's an Olympic, and then, of course, the sprint's not, you know, you don't really sprint. I mean, some people do. But most of us just, we run and so on. And then of course,
want to get through it.
We just want to get through it, right? And then there's the Olympic distance. And then there's a 70.3, which is used to be called a half Ironman, but now it's called an Ironman 70.3. Because if you can travel 70.3 miles without any propulsion in a day through swimming 1.2 miles and then cycling 56 miles and then running 13.1 miles, people would suggest that on some level you are made of iron, if you will, right? So they consider those Ironman. Of course, then there's the full Ironman, which is double that. And having that experience, and like I'm sure in some ways for you being in the military, having that experience prepares your mind, prepares your body, prepares your spirit, right? And so, for example, when I'd have a very high challenge situation, whether it's working super late during my busy season in the wintertime and work until like 12, 1, 2 in the morning and just being exhausted, I would remember that, look, man, you're an Iron Man.
Yeah.
You can do this. It would invigorate my spirit, my mind. And so when I share this with others who are considering, like, how do I prepare myself? Small victories. Build courage through establishing your identity in overcoming obstacles. And they don't have to be an obstacle in a specific zone, right? They could be an obstacle in any area of your life. But having the purposeful overcoming of those obstacles, i.e. in an event, not that you have to do a physical event. Maybe you can't do that, but you can do something else that's challenging to you and overcome that obstacle. It doesn't mean that you're the best. I would never come in first place in any of those events. And that wasn't my goal. There were athletes who were superior to me. And that's fine. But as far as my own preparation for establishing an identity as an overcomer, I think that was essential. And I think you've probably had some of those same experiences in life.
Oh, absolutely.
And they pull you through.
Yeah.
So for the listener who is considering, like, how do I do that? Well, say, for example, you're going for a walk and you see a hill and you say, I'm going to take the easy route. Take the hill. Now, of course, don't hurt yourself. Maybe you go partway up the hill today and then you turn around. And maybe you go partway a little further up the hill the next day and you turn around. And then you go almost to the end and you turn around. And then you get to the very top, because every time you have a small victory, you can build your courage.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
It's so much better than just saying, I can never climb that hill.
There's a couple key pieces to that. And first off, it boils down to your commitment to it. So like, you can't get out there and just run a marathon or do a triathlon or be an Ironman without committing, saying that you're going to want to do this in the first place. So you got to commit to the process that you're saying, hey, I'm building that mental toughness. This is what I want to do, and creating the steps. So there's that commitment that you have to make to yourself that you're going to do whatever it takes to be there. And it boils down to your character as well. Like, are you someone that follows through with the things that you say you're going to do? Now, these are all foundational pieces that we learn from growing up, but kind of taking on the pieces that you do, like what you just said, is like you almost have to put yourself in uncomfortable positions to be able to get better at it. So even in business, like doing new things in business is uncomfortable. It is hard, but the more you do it, the easier it gets. It's just like riding a bike. The first time you ride a bike, you're terrified. And I'm thinking about my little kids. It's like, man, the first time they got on there and they start doing it, they're falling off. They're scraping their elbows, their hands and knees and stuff like that. And then they're scared to get back on that bike. But once we keep getting back on the bike and it becomes easier, and now they're pedaling and now they're doing it by themselves and now they don't need training wheels or they don't need their dad carrying them along and holding their shirt, it becomes easier. They lose that fear because it becomes comfortable. So if you want to keep excelling and getting better at anything in life, whether it's going to be a race or family or in business, you got to put yourself in uncomfortable positions so that you can be better. For me personally, I don't know if it's because of my upbringing as a child, like I probably went to 7 different schools from preschool all the time I graduated, or if it was in the military where I'm constantly moving from city to city or different bases and stuff like that. But for me, I go through like different cycles. Almost every 2 to 3 years, I get bored of what I'm doing in my business, which is probably why I stopped Powerfit Bootcamp at the time, because I was just not being challenged enough. It was just easy. And I was like, I need to do something different. It drives my wife absolutely nuts. She's like, Jared, why don't you just do something and stick to it and stop creating something new? Because I keep going and be like, I have this amazing idea. And I go, wait, it's going to be part of my business. It's part of Creek Consulting. Don't worry about it. It's just an extension of what it's going to be. So I'm not stopping it and doing it. So this happened like a couple weeks ago. And she's like, oh, great. What's he talking about now? But the thing is, I go through different cycles where things become too easy and I'm just not challenged anymore and I'm too comfortable. And for me to be excited about what I'm doing and keep moving forward and keeping that drive, I had to keep myself challenged in what I'm doing. So the way that I do that, instead of stopping the business and wanting to start a new one all over again, I keep the business, but I create new offers. I create new experiences. I create new things of what I'm doing it to keep me challenged from moving forward. And I think that that's for us, if we want to become better leaders, if we want to become better entrepreneurs, if we want to become better fathers, better husbands, all these different things, we need to put ourselves in challenging situations so that way we can grow from it.
100%. In fact, so, I've heard it said like this, comfort is the enemy of progress.
100%, yeah.
And so there's a place for comfort. Not that we don't need comfort. We need rest. We need that moment of peace. But I tend to look at it like this. You know, if we're battleships or warships, they're safe in the harbor.
Yeah.
But that's not what we were built for. We were built for battle.
Yeah.
And it is a battle out there. The fact that the comfort piece being the enemy to progress, I think it's a good barometer for us. Because if we're in a state of comfort for too long, it's likely that we're not growing. I mean, and that's physiology. You've been to the gym. We both have been, you know, at the gym working out. You see the person sitting on the machine, watching TV, the machine that you want, right? And they're just kind of hanging.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know, I don't think you're going to grow very much, because you need that tension to tear those muscles.
Yeah, I call that commitment.
That's commitment. Yeah. And having that commitment. And so, for example, you talked about the marathon, right? I started out with a 5K. But before I could do a 5K, which is 3.1 miles, I had to figure out how to run a mile, right? Because you start somewhere. You take baby steps. In fact, we had something going on at the office. We used to do it years ago. So we've been in business for 27 years. When I first started, after I'd see every client, about a client an hour, I would do 10 pushups, about 10-hour days on during busy time. And then, so I would do 100 pushups. Well, I quit doing that for I don't know how long. And then last year, I started back. I was like, why don't we do this again? So I invited any of my staff members to join me in this whole push-up thing. One of my staff members who said, so I was doing my push-ups. So it looks kind of weird. You walk into my office and I'm just doing push-ups in a suit, right?
Yeah.
But one of my staff members was like, man, I wish I could do that many push-ups. I was like, well, can you do one? Yeah, I could probably do one. Just do one. And work and have the commitment to get there. So my goal was, my commitment, if you will, was 500 push-ups in a day. Mm. That was my goal. So if I got up to where I was doing 50 push-ups every hour for a 10-hour day, I would hit my number. Start out with the 10. I moved to 20, 25, 30. Now, some days I just didn't have it in me. Yeah. And, you know, working long days, and guess what I would do? I would take a step back and I would have a little bit of rest because I knew my muscles needed recovery. But then I needed to go back into a state of discomfort so I can progress. And then to 30, 35, 40, 42, 44, 48. And then by the end of my busy time, I was up to 50. And it was just one day. That's all I needed to do it for, was just one day. And I hit my number. But that's what you're talking about. Yeah. It was uncomfortable. But it wasn't impossible either. And setting ourselves up for success. Because I think on the flip side of that, even in that identity piece and that purpose piece, we can set ourselves up for failure. And I say that because sometimes we can overshoot the expectation of what's possible in the moment, right? All things being equal. And we sometimes have to take a step back in life and say, okay, what is possible right now for my life? Because sometimes we take on too much. And then that's part of the stress thing, right?
Yeah.
So walk me through this last piece.
Yeah, so I'll get into that. But before I mention it, something you just said that's really important is your environment. So like your environment, we're going to be influenced by around the people that we're going to be around too. So you stepping up as a leader and getting the other people around, well, they thought something wasn't impossible, but because they saw you as the leader to be able to drive them forward, they started seeing that it was possible. It's like, oh man, if Nate can do this, I can do this. If other people in the room can do this, I can do this. I remember I had a mindset shift that I didn't even think was possible. Like I mentioned this to you earlier, even making a couple $1,000 online seemed very impossible for me. But then I was part of a group and an environment and community of people that are making 20, 30, 50, 100,000 plus dollars per month in the online business space and things like that. But before I knew it, within a matter of like only a couple weeks and months, I was doing the same thing. And it's because I thought differently. So something that you told me a couple of weeks ago, you mentioned like, Jerry, you need to stop thinking like $1 million business and start thinking like a $10 million business. That stuck me hard because I started reflecting on that. I'm like, man, I've been thinking really small lately and I've been getting too comfortable in where I'm at in my business. And I'm like, man, that was just like a gut check. And for me, I was like, man, because I'm usually not that person that's thinking small, but it was eye awakening for me. It's like, man, you called me out. It's like, I'm thinking too small. And because I'm thinking small, I'm too comfortable. And because I'm too comfortable, I realize I'm not in the environment around other people that are thinking bigger. And I'm thinking around people that are too comfortable in what they're doing. And I need to put myself in better environments. So that's something by what you said that definitely resonated that people need to hear.
100%. That's the same conversation around the marathon. If I'm only training for a 5K, which is your $1 million business, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe it's your $50,000 business. Then that's all I'm going to go for. And that's all I'm going to do. But if I'm training for a marathon, 26.2 miles, guess how much faster that 5K comes and goes? In fact, that happened to me. When I was always training for 5Ks, I was like, okay, I got my 3.1 miles and woo, I'm good, right? And I was like, well, what if I train for a marathon? That 3.1 miles came so much faster.
It was like a warm-up.
It was a warm-up. That million-dollar business is now a warm-up to you.
Yep.
Because the $10 million business is really your marathon.
Yep.
And who knows? Who knows? And maybe it's not your number. Maybe it's not necessarily just the revenue of the business, right? I mean, that's just one piece of it. But maybe it's client satisfaction. Maybe it's one referral for every client I have is my goal. Because maybe we say, well, if I got one referral out of 10, I'm happy, right? That's that 5K, right? Go for the marathon. One out of one. What do I have to do for every single client to be so incredibly satisfied? They become a brand advocate, that they become, what do they call them? Raving fan, yeah. Right? And then they are referring, every single one is referring someone. That's the marathon approach.
Yeah, 100%. So kind of getting the last piece of the being mission focused is the destination. So you first know your purpose, then you know your identity, and then you got to know your destination. And there's three elements that I tell people about, like how to actually figure out that destination. One is financial. So we got to know financially as an entrepreneur. Now, you have to understand my audience, majority of them are all entrepreneurs. So that's why I say, okay, we got to have a financial goal of what that is. But just like what you say, it could be anything. It could be running that marathon or whatever it may be. For this example purposes, you got to know your financial goal. Where are you going? What do you want to achieve for there? The second piece is the culture that you want to build for your business. And then the third piece is going to be more community. So your community is more of your environment, and your culture is going to be more like the vision and what you want to establish for your clients and more mindset thinking. So like almost like the attitudes and the type of people you want to bring into your community and things like that, whereas the community is the whole. So when you're thinking about the destination, you got to know financially, you got to know culturally that you want to create, and you got to know your community. And here's the other thing too. That's all part of your vision when you put all these pieces together. But then you got to, once you nail that down, you have to own it and you have to protect it. It's really easy to bring a client into your community that is nothing but toxic and venom. And when you bring that toxicity and that venom into your community, it's going to spread like a wildfire. If you bring in an employee that brings in that toxic and that venom, it's going to spread like wildfire. So you have to protect that vision and what you want to create in that community and the culture and everything that goes down to that mission, and making sure that you're hyper-focused and you stick to it and don't allow other people to come in that is going to bring it down.
100%. In fact, when you talk about that, that's also a role of leadership, is protecting the best fit for the organization, because part of authority is in an exchange. And someone listening has heard me say this before, that authority is an exchange, basically security for obedience. Mm-hmm. So I will give you security to operate at your best possible level in this environment, whether it's a customer, a client, whether it's an employee, any stakeholder, in exchange for obedience is what we call it, or this is our mission, this is our vision, these are our values, and these are the steps we're going to take as a team to reach that.
Yep.
And it's an agreement. And when it's breached by a leader who perhaps compromises the commitment and allows a toxic relationship to enter, which becomes cancerous, as you said, then the contract is broken.
Yep.
It's an unwritten contract usually. I mean, most people don't talk in those terms, but it's implied. And so then what happens? Well, you know what? If you're not honoring your side of the bargain as a leader, why should I honor my side as a stakeholder?
Yep.
It's so critical. But on the flip side of that is when we do honor it and we set those boundaries and we do not compromise under any circumstances. And that comes back to processes, vetting the best fit, right? Not only a customer, of course, absolutely a person who's going to be a part of creating an experience, our people. And sometimes we do compromise, like, oh, you know, I just needed somebody to fill in that position. Or maybe the interview went really well and I didn't check references. Or maybe it started out great, but then the vision changed for one of my staff members and their vision began to deviate from the company core vision, the mission, and of course, even the values.
Yep.
Sometimes that comes out in the wash and we've got to make tough choices, right? To what I would call free someone's future so that we can maintain the integrity of the hull of this leadership.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agree 100%.
Yeah. So as you walk through these processes, now it's easy to say it on our end, right?
Yep.
But we miss it too. And so nobody has it down 100%. Nobody has it to where they don't miss it or fail. And that's not the problem. The problem isn't that we're going to make mistakes. Really, the problem is, I think it comes full circle back to what you were talking about, how we respond to them.
Yeah.
Right? How we respond to the challenges that are stressing us out. What can we control? How can we create an environment that's full of purpose? I love that. Understands identity, right? And is all about creating an environment that leads us to our desired destination, because that's what people want. Yeah. People want to go to a better future state. And as leaders, it's our responsibility to not only paint the picture, but guide and direct along that path.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you got to protect it and you got to be able to understand what that is. But one thing I wanted to say, kind of hitting on it, like even as a leader, what we do, we fail at times. That's why it's so important to have a coach. It's so important to have people along your side. They're going to hold you accountable, to be that bouncing board, to be that person that, you know, just there to support you throughout it, because every person needs a coach. Every person needs that accountability, that person, that mentor to help guide us and push us through. And I'll tell you, every time I had a coach, or that I never had a coach, my business started going down. Every time I had a coach, my business was going up because I was accountable to them. It's like having a personal trainer. Like when you have a personal trainer, and let's just say it's an online coach, and the only time you meet with them is once a week for check-in, and you got to send them the weights, you got to send them the pictures. Do you not think I'm getting terrified leading up to that day and saying, oh crud, I got to send them pictures, I got to send them my weight, I don't want to fail, because that's someone that you trust so much that you don't want to disappoint them. But for anyone that's looking and struggling, like, you know, even as a leader, you feel like you got it together. Even if you got it together, we still need to have those people on their side to help push us along.
Undisputable. And I think about even me growing up, like you think about when you were new entrepreneur, new husband, new follower, having those people in your camp who cared to invest in you. And, you know, the mentor is someone who's been there, mm-hmm. and who you can respect and honor, and who can not only guide you, but as you said, you know, hold you accountable. Someone that you hopefully can be transparent with. You can share your struggles. Part of the problem, I think, that people face, someone right now is listening saying, I get it, but I wouldn't even know where to start. I mean, how do I even, where are they? There's like Mentors Are Us. I mean, where do you find mentor? And of course, that's a good question. It's a valid question. As far as your journey, JR, I mean, how have you found people that have mentored you?
Networking, asking questions, looking into my inner circle of the people that I'm talking to. And just asking them, you know, a good example would be me and you. You would be someone that I would definitely look up to and consider as a mentor of mine and someone that I respect greatly. And so whenever I have a specific question on a specific business thing, you're the first person I want to lean on. So just asking them, and then maybe you guys can work something out and create an offer, or they help you out just as serving you. I mean, you just never know. That's a great place to start, but there's other places that you can kind of dive into. And your network is so important. So I always tell people, if you're not networking and getting out there and meeting people, especially as an entrepreneur, then you need to start there. And there's a chamber of commerce in every single community in the country. Go visit some chamber of commerce events. Go visit some BNI events or whatever it may be. See who the people are in there. See what people do. Ask them questions of who's helping you with your business. Find someone that is a competitor of yours. Be friends with them and ask them who's helping them along the way. And then you just kind of, you know, for me, it's like praying that God brings the right people in your world and just being able to attract those right different people. And then once you do, honestly, it's just a matter of asking people questions. Like when you go networking, ask where other people are, where else are they networking at? And that's going to put you in the environment of people that are probably seeking help and success in their business.
And some people may be nervous about that because someone might say, oh, I couldn't even get the courage up to ask for help or to network and all that. But at the same time, you don't have to actually ask for help. Necessarily, you simply explain where you're at and where you're going and that you respect someone and you'd love to hear about their story. Mm-hmm. You see, mentors, potential mentors, love to share about their story because there comes a point, not everyone, because some people just don't want to be bothered, but you don't want that person as your mentor anyway.
Exactly.
You want somebody who cares and who's ready to pass on the wisdom, ready to mm-hmm. pass on the knowledge and the experience and share it with somebody who is motivated. I tell my son this, attitude plus aptitude equals altitude, right? Someone who has the aptitude, which is the ability, and that doesn't mean you have the ability right now. It just means that you have the potential. The attitude is, I have a winning attitude. It doesn't mean I'm not down. There's times when we're all down, but that I will get back up, that I will do whatever it takes, as you stated, that I have a solid moral compass, that I'm going to do the right thing in the right ways. And then you see, you're like, well, that person's trajectory, I want to invest in them. Mm-hmm. But it comes around, like you said, conversations, having conversations and just sharing. You know, I'm in this place. I love talking with especially that next generation of entrepreneurs coming up or leaders, young leaders. I mean, anywhere from like the teenager all the way, you know, through their 20s and into their 30s to just, hey, you know, what's going on with you? Oh, I'm doing this in my business. I'm going with this. And I just got married. And I just have a kid and things like that. And boy, I'm struggling with this. You know, what's your perspective? What's your story? Oh, love to share. Let's grab a coffee. Let's get on a Zoom call, right? And you'd be surprised how many people are willing to invest in you if you're willing to invest in yourself.
100%.
Yeah.
Starts right there.
Yep. So you don't have to be. I mean, you're a pretty outgoing guy. I'm outgoing too, right? We're both pretty extroverted. So for us, maybe conversations come easier. We thrive on conversations and interactions, but some aren't. But let this be maybe a gentle nudge that you don't have to be.
So here's a quote that I tell everyone, and it's my quote, so you can make a meme out of it if you like. But confidence comes with clarity. So the more clear you are in your message and your purpose and what you're going into, the more confident you're going to be in who you are. And that's going to help speak volumes whenever you start speaking to people. So start there. If you have a hard time talking to people because you don't know what to say, start figuring out what your message is and who you are and what you even want to talk about. And that's going to give you the confidence that you need. So confidence comes with clarity. Be clear on your message and your offers and what you have to present. And then you're going to gain more confidence off of that. And the other thing boils down to, like we said before, taking small steps and just start trying and just talking to people and start with your inner circle of people that you're comfortable with. And then start those one-on-one conversations. Start asking certain questions that you normally wouldn't ask. And when you start doing that, the more you open up your mouth, the more you start speaking, the more you communicate, the easier it's going to be.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be easier when you get into more challenging environments.
I love the way you describe that, especially just hanging on this concept of our peer group, our community, our environment plays a huge part in our development.
Yeah.
And I've heard it said like this, show me your friends, I'll show you your future.
There you go.
It's powerful, man.
Yeah.
And so I think we need to take inventory on a regular basis of our surroundings, our communities. Are they people who will build us up rather than tear us down? And I don't mean tear us down. I mean, there's people who will tear you down before they build you up, but not from the perspective of trying to hurt you, but get rid of all the junk in your life, mm-hmm. right? That's part of the mentorship. But we're talking about tearing you down in terms of hurting rather than helping you. Yeah. We want those people eliminated from your life, right? But that's part of the clarity piece. Right? So clearly, I love that piece because if you can succinctly create a clear message, 1 to 2 sentences of your purpose, your identity, where you're going, right? I mean, these are foundational. And be able to articulate that. Again, as JR, you said, this builds your confidence and your, also I would say your commitment to following through to it. Mm-hmm. But then you begin to surround yourself with people that who believe what you believe. And who are going where you're going. That's part of leadership and influence, right? So once you can communicate that, then others around you who are going in that direction will also bind with you. And guess what happens to the haters? Well, they start to fall off, right? Because they're like, well, you know, we're not going to the same place because I'm trying to keep myself down.
Yep.
But you're going up.
Yep.
So we're going in different directions.
Yeah.
And so over the years, we've all had them in our life. I've pretty much eliminated all the people in my life who were cancerous and toxic. I mean, I'm thinking out loud right now, but I can't think of anyone in my life right now, in my sphere, my community, who is like that. Mm. In fact, my community is filled with people, and I'm not talking about people who make you feel good just to make you feel good. I'm talking about people that will challenge me.
Yeah.
Hardcore, but in love, because they want to see the best for me, and I want to see the best for them. And man, that's energizing. To get up in the morning, because guess what? That backpack I was talking about at the beginning of our episode, I don't put that on anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's not full of all these heavy weights and these burdens. Now it's full of life that I can go spread the joy of the adventure in every season with everyone I meet.
That's good.
Yeah. So JR, as you progress through your journey and your travels, where are you finding that those pieces you have to revisit the most out of your process?
Yeah, so I'm actually in that journey right now. And the biggest thing that I'm reflecting on personally is what brings me joy and what's bringing more stress. Because I'm trying to do everything I can to remove as much stress out of my life and toxic and cancer and within my life as possible. Even boils down to offers, like some offers that I offered in my business last year for our clients is completely different than what I'm even offering today. And I started looking at the things that I enjoyed doing that was taking too much or not taking as much time and the things that were taking up too much time and if I even liked doing it or not. And then I started removing it and kept the things that I enjoy. So yes, it might be a lower ticket type offer that I'm selling my clients, but it's the things that makes it easy and keeps me happy. So I look at the things that are keeping me happy, that brings joy in my life, but also I reflect on the things that are not bringing me joy, they're bringing me more stress, and I find ways to get rid of them and to simplify the processes so I can keep more happiness in my life.
And I think part of that is saying no.
Oh, boundaries is huge. You gotta say no, and that has to be part of your daily language. Learn how to say no and respecting your time and your vision, which goes back to the vision, But does it feed the vision, the mission that you're on? And if it doesn't, you need to say no, because it boils down to commitment too. Are you committed to the processes? If I got scheduled appointments that I needed to do, I'm committed to that appointment. I need to make sure I show up and do that appointment because I'm committed to it. But my friend wants to go out and get some lunch or something like that, or grab a couple of drinks. That's okay. I still got things I got to do, maybe later on. So it's that commitment as well. I mean, there's just so much involved with that. But yeah, it all boils down to those key things.
Well, and then, yeah, if you're listening, it's resonating that, well, shoot, I don't even have a vision. You know, where can I start? There are many resources, and they're free. Even if you check out, we've got free templates on our site, and there's different areas that you can go for vision boards and YouTube videos and so on and so forth. I would encourage you, when this episode is over, the next thing to do is, if you don't have a vision or if you don't have a clear vision, is to take the next step and begin to develop your vision. Because if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there.
Yep.
And that's dangerous, right? Because we only have so much time. And so having a sense of clarity in your vision, and we're talking about leadership here. And honestly, let's just lay it out. If you don't know where you're going, who's going to want to follow you?
Yep.
Right? I mean, wandering is not a prescription for effective leadership.
Yep.
Right? So if you want to be an effective leader, a better leader, start with vision, clear, compelling, attractive, worthwhile, achievable. And if you're not there yet, again, soon as we're done here, don't even listen to the next episode. I would love for you to just binge listen to episodes. Stop right there and focus on a timeline, 1 week, to put your vision in order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good, man.
Yeah. Man, I just love having you here. I love you, man. I'm so glad that we were put together, and we got to keep doing this. I mean, there's so much more. We're going to let our listener digest this really essential information, and let's just have you back.
I love it.
Yeah, man. So what do you say in the military? What's your key phrase? Semper Fi?
Semper Fi. Semper Fi. Always faithful.
Amen.
Hurrah.
Well, my friend, we did it. I'm so honored you were able to join me on this episode of A Call to Leadership. Now, this might not be for everyone, because you really have to be in a certain place in order to take the kind of steps to level up your leadership. And I want you to be taking steps. And for those of you who feel like you're ready for something like this, there's a place you can go. You can go to our website, greatsummit.com. I'll make sure that's in the show notes. But here's the cool thing that we have. We've got a masterclass. We have all different kinds of events. We even have our leadership club, where you can meet other people just like you to go deeper in your leadership journey. You and I will get to spend some time together and really focus on aiming for greatness. I can't wait to see you there. I'm Dr. Nate Salla, and this is A Call to Leadership.